Hi, hi everyone. So I just got this book in the mail this morning, so it's the first time I'm seeing it, and I'll read mainly from it. Actually, two books have just, well, they haven't even come out yet, so I'll read mainly from this book, which comes out technically in a month, but you can apparently buy it here, which is a surprise to me. And I'll also read a very small section from this novel, which comes out next week. And I guess perhaps what I'm doing is that I'll introduce you to two characters, mainly. And one from the poems is called the Singer Man. I'm giving you like a weird Jamaican cultural tour. And so the guy I'll introduce you from the poems is called the Singer Man. He kind of just showed up in the poems. So I set out to write this book called A Light Song of Light, which is what it's called. And I can tell you what I think is haunting the collection. I can say this more easily now. Last year, my mother died, and that clearly is traumatic in all the ways that is usually traumatic. And I began to wonder, and this is going to sound really corny and cheesy, and I'm sorry, but I wondered how do you face things that are really dark in your life, and how do you face darkness generally, and how do you compose out of that darkness a song of light? And I wanted to write a collection that attempted to write this song of light, and that's what the collection is trying to do. And so, in the midst of that, this guy shows up to the in the collection, and it's me doing all kinds of research. So back in Jamaica, back in the day, like 1930s, and this is me being nostalgic for things that I couldn't clearly not remember, but it's a false kind of nostalgia. But there was this singer man that when they built roads in Jamaica, they would hire this guy, typical thing. Hire him as part of the road gangs, and while they're building the roads, the government actually hired a man to sing songs, and this was the singer man, and he comes in and out of this collection. So some of the poems have to do with him, some don't. And the woman I'll introduce, so I'll introduce to the singer man and the Warner woman. The Warner woman is part of that culture again, and perhaps can be located at that time, and that's what the novel is called. It's the last Warner woman, not warrior, but Warner, and back in the day, she literally did that. She used to come down from the hills with warnings. She was a kind of prophetess, and she'd always talk about earthquakes and floods and storms if you didn't give your life to Jesus right now. Amen. And so the book is about that. So, anyway, some definitions for song. It actually looks like a definition, but some definitions for song. The speech of birds, as in bird song, but with exceptions, pigeons do not sing, vultures do not sing. A bargain, or a very small sum, as in he bought it for a song. Think what we could purchase with songs thrown across the counter and landing more softly than coins. Perhaps then the origin of the expression to sing for your supper. The troubled sound that escapes from a woman's mouth while she dreams of fire, also any sound that escapes, also anything that escapes, a passage out, the fling up of hands, a prison break is a song. The parting of the Red Sea was a song. In Israel, there are many songs, but there should have been 6 million more. Across the Atlantic, there are many songs, but there should have been 10 million more. Song was a state during the Eastern Zhou spring and autumn period, 770 to 476 BC. Its capital was Shangku. Anything that climbs is a song. Vines are a song. My father, 70 years old, at the top of the aki tree, is a song. All planes are songs. Song was a low-cost airline operated by Delta. Tourists were flown by Song to Florida. Song's last flight was on 30th of April 2006. All that pleases the heart. All that pleases the ear, the final measure of joy. When we have lost song, we have lost everything. a common surname in Korea, often transliterated as Sung. What would it mean if your name was Song? Song is the third and final album of Lullaby for the Working Class. It was released October 19th, 1999. Songs often refer to songs, as in, he shall encompass me with a song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing a song of sixpence. Sing a song. Sing a song. All right. I'll go to the first poem where, well, the thing of it is introduced in the very first poem, but I'll probably read that last. But a short biography of the singer man. And I'll just probably just read through a couple of them. The singer man born in 1903 has lived in Spalding, in Lime Tree Grove, in a village called Rim. Wherever there were no roads, wherever the hills rose up like a flock of green parrots, you would find him. Singer man, paid half shilling a week, dug trenches, filled the pits with mortar and bits of broken stone. But singer man's most crucial job was to lift up mentors. Time, chichibodo to the swing of a workman's hammer, and no one knew if it was the hammer or if it was the song, but there was no rock so strong to resist the fourth accented beat, that huh, in the singer man's song. Brochure. Imagine this is a brochure if you're ever going to Jamaica. Brochure. Avoid the three-lane highways. Drive on the singer man's roads. Your journey, even when bumpy, will be sweet. The accents lifting you as in a chorus. The sharp corners turning you like a force of melody. There is a back road that sings its offbeat way up Stony Hill. Built, of course, by the singer man. And the slim road to Mount Pleasant, also built by the singer man. And yes, it was the singer man who orchestrated the long road to Portland, made it full of waterfalls, so that a man and his mule traversing the miles could forget for a while the solemnity of their loads. Please, when you visit Jamaica, drive on the singer man's roads. Yeah, sure. I was thinking that in Jamaica, the singer man is probably, you know, kind of or equivalent of a blues musician. And which made me begin to wonder about color and songs. Anyway, the color of the singer man's songs. If the singer man had gone to America, he would have sung the blues. He would have sung the blues with a voice like John the Baptist, with a tongue covered in sand, and his blues would have been that kind of blues that is fed on locust and honey. Blues like a cry that cometh from the wilderness. Blues like the sound of warthogs alarmed at the sky. And the singer man would have sung it from his field in Arkansas, straight to Harold Arlen's sitting room, and Arlen would have gone to the Keys to write a song more sad than Blues in the Night. But the singer man did not go to America. He stayed right here. So bless up to him and his song and all music that is sad in its own color. Bless up to every song that makes its own way out of dungle, a path straight through getters. Bless up to the mentor which becomes ska, which becomes rub-a-dub, which becomes legend. Bless up all the red gold songs, the weary evening time songs, songs given to us by the singer man. Alright, probably I'll just break from the singer man for 1 second. Alright, I'll read this. This is a found poem. It's called Notice to the Public, Please Observe. I was explaining this poem when I read that stanza. So I sing that one of the things I get occasionally nostalgic for living in Scotland is rudeness. Because you all are so very nice in Scotland, and the minute I land in Jamaica, I always have a ritual. I'll get out of the airport, get some cash out of the cash machine, which is always like a huge money, like a $5,000 bill, which you can't understand, of course. And I'll run into a store that sells patties, Jamaican patties, and I'll hand it to the cashier, and she'll always look at me with utter disdain and say something like, "We're not a change for that, you know. Don't worry." But it's that kind of contempt that makes me always feel, yes, I'm home. And yeah, I mean, you just walk into stores here and everyone is so pleasant. You know, they come up and they ask, do you need any help? Are you getting through? And you think, come on, you're not that happy to see me, really. So I think I could have only found this poem in Jamaica. I'm sure this system is perhaps very similar, but one of the kind of notaries in Jamaica is what we call a justice of the peace. Mm-hmm. And that's just supposed to be a goodly person from the community who can authorize things, who can, attach a stamp. And they're supposed to do it out of the goodness of their heart. It's not a paid job. It's just, a kind of civil position. And I saw this on the gate, attached to the gate as a notice on a gate a justice of the peace in Jamaica. And so I just kind of changed the order a little and did some minor tweaking, but it's pretty much what I saw. So finally I've found a poem. Notice to the public, please observe. I'm available Tuesdays to Thursdays, 10 a.m. Tickets will be issued and you will be dealt with at that time. After that, I am paralyzed, blind, deaf and dumb. If you have a hard luck story, don't come. If I don't know you, don't come. If my friend is the one who know you, don't come. If you need to renew a missing passport in a hurry, don't come. If you need to be recommended to an embassy, don't come. If you need a firearm license, don't come. If you need to bail someone and you don't bring a form 2 from the officer in charge, don't come. If you are a soldier or police who feel him is as large as the law and bigger than God, don't come. If you have things to do that you should do and you don't do them yet, don't come. If you can read and understand this, you won't waste your time and come. All right, the final part of the book becomes a kind of, I guess it becomes what we'd call in Jamaica a Nine Night, which is just a wake, a celebration of the dead. And it tries to compose songs like that. But it occurred to me that back in the day, that I'm being nostalgic for, that I didn't actually experience. One of the people who they'd clearly have asked to come and lead a Nine Night is the singer man. The singer man's other job. In late hours, the singer man can be found at a dead yard, pointing songs to the moon, if there is a moon, to the dark, if there is only dark. For this, the singer man is paid with rum. And if it takes all night, he will sing all night, until his melody is as sure as what he builds in the daytime. The dead will step on roofs, on trees, they will float up to the stars, towards an intergalactic highway where comets and angels pass. There is a road that climbs towards Mount Zion, and this too was built by the singer man. I'll just read one more poem from this collection, and then I'll probably read a bit from this, and then I'll read the first poem, if that's okay. A parting song, and as I said, this is in that whole kind of weird depressing section that ends the book. A parting song. May your portion be blue. May your portion be sky. May your portion be light. Goodbye. And may your portion be song, whose notes never die. And may the music be sweet. Goodbye. And may your portion be soft, and may your portion be love. Yes, may your portion be love, and may your portion be soft. And may the soft lift you high, and may your portion be sky. Goodbye. So yeah, that's that book. There's a lot more though. So yes, the Warner Woman. I'm going to read one of the shortest and perhaps the strangest chapters. You will not understand anything what the book is about with her from this chapter. It's and I'm only reading it because I guess I wrote it almost like a poem. As I said, I think in this chapter I'm just trying to describe the Warner Woman. As I said, she is a crazy ass prophet or prophetess. I mean, the story generally is that she comes, she gives all these warnings, she migrates. And tries to give a warning in somewhere like Trafalgar Square, and it doesn't, it's not appreciated as easily as it's appreciated in Jamaica, and she might end up in a mental hospital here. But as I said, in this chapter, I'm just trying to describe what she sounds like, and it's yeah, it the plot isn't advanced at all. It's just a kind of weird lyrical description. The cry of the Warner Woman. The cry of the Warner Woman is warrant. You may imagine her as a kind of policewoman who has come from a country in the sky, who has spent her entire morning waiting in a dusty room. In this dusty room, a ceiling fan makes revolutions as slow and as the hand of a clock. The Warner Woman waits. Letters have been stenciled on the door outside, and together they read, "Bureau of the Affairs of Men." Angels in suits specially tailored to accommodate their wings are sitting behind oak desks. They have severe gray eyes, and their balding heads have been polished bright, so bright they are often mistaken for halos. The angels carefully read through thick books. The Warner Woman waits. The angels at last begin to write up warrants. The warrants are handed to the Warner Woman. She rides down to earth on a silver cloud. The spinning of her head, wrapped in its red turban, is like a siren. The Warner Woman cries warrant, and if you have ears to hear her cry, her warrant has been served. The cry of the Warner Woman is storm and hurricane and flood. You may imagine her rising from the ocean floor, her naked body encrusted in barnacles. And now she is standing on the water. The white froth of waves is obedient to her and follows subtle instructions from her toes. The Warner Woman is like a vessel. She carries people inside her, a mother perhaps, and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, generations of prophets inside her, but also she carries the drowned. A crew of drowned niggers who gave themselves over to salt, who have been patient, who have sat on the ocean floor and waited for their legs to rot to bone so that they could step away from the balls of lead they were chained to. They have sat as children might sit in a classroom and have mastered the movements of the tide, have learned how to control it and to turn it into something terrible, something like a vengeance. The Warner Woman's cry of storm and hurricane and flood is also their cry. It is a conjuration of salt. The cry of the Warner Woman is earthquake. You may imagine her walking on tectonic plates. She shakes. She passes on her shivers. The Warner Woman causes tremors in the hearts of men. She says to you, you have been living on a fault line. The fault line has shifted. You are falling through it even now. The cry of the Warner Woman is consider. She draws you into contemplation, saying, consider that and then consider this. Consider yourself and your deeds. Consider the consequences of things. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. Consider the ant and be wise. And consider the ravens who neither sow nor reap nor have storehouses or barns, and yet the Father feedeth them. So consider yourself and your place in the world, and how ye are but a speck of dust. The Warner Woman walks on normal roads. She travels on normal buses. Like everyone else, the Warner Woman must go out from her house to buy bread. She must get a cylinder of gas for her stove. She has a normal job. She works at the garment factory, or she washes clothes, or she's in your kitchen preparing your dinner. The Warner Woman looks like everyone else, but for the headpiece she occasionally wears, but for the rulers in her headpiece, but for the pencil stuck behind her ear. Most days, as the Warner Woman walks on her normal roads and travels on her normal buses, she keeps her own counsel. Like everyone else, she must get through the day's trials. But when the Warner Woman cries out suddenly, her cry enters people's blood like a freezing. No longer is she just another woman on the road or a woman on the bus. She has become the terrible Warner Woman. Her whole body becomes rigid. She dips. She comes back up. When the messenger spirit is upon the Warner Woman, you must look every which way but in her eyes, because in her eyes you will see Port Royal, you will see Kendal, you will see Kingston besieged by cholera, you will see the single grave for 1,000 men, you will see the fires and the hangings of 1861, you will see it all. You must make the sign of the cross while the Warner Woman spins, hoping the Warner Woman will say to herself, "Here is someone who has considered all that needs considering, someone who does not need further warning." When she bolts towards someone, you will hope it is not you. But if it is you, you will have the respect to freeze on the spot and try not to mess yourself in public. The Warner Woman lays her hands on the forehead. Her cry is warrant, storm and hurricane and flood, earthquake, and more terrible than any of these, Ward 18, Ward 18, the messenger spirit just come tell me that is Ward 18 for you. You see, of all the wards at the public hospital, true story, this was the most infamous. To doctors, it was simply known as Ward 18, but to everyone else, nurses, patients, the general public, it was also known as Ward Lad Me Done. So certain were Jamaicans of their impending death if admitted to this ward that relatives would start the grieving process immediately, calling family members from around the world, telling them to come back home for the funeral. In fact, many a moving Sunday morning testimony began, "Brethren, them did put me on Ward Lad Me Done." The congregation would gasp, "But the blessed Saviour never done with me at all," to which the congregation would shout amen. The cry of the Warner Woman carries with it a scent, and if you are close by when she prophesies, you will smell it too. It is the smell of nutmeg, of earth, of rocks, of rain coming in from a distance, of salt, of ocean, of oil, of cream soda, of coconut, of dust. And so I'll just end with what I said is actually the first poem in the collection. I guess it's as close to a title poem as there is, and I guess, you know, the other part is, you know, when you write your third collection, you figure that you should know what poetry is about and what you want to do with it. And I guess it's a kind of manifesto. What I believe I want to do with poetry. 12 Notes for a Light Song of Light. 1. A light song of light is not sung in the light. What would be the point? A light song of light swells up in dark times, in wolf time and knife time, in knuckle and blood times. It hums a small tune in daytime, but saves its full voice for the midnight. 2. A light song of light spits from its mouth the things that occasionally gather, the dull taste of morning and cobwebs, you would not believe their thickness, and the strangest word, Caranapa, so much larger than its letters, a maroon of a word, and a word so silent it is the opposite of song. 3. A light song of light occasionally stutters. This is par for the course. There is no need for concern, no need for bed rest or vitamins, no need to take your song in to the song specialist for treatment. 4. But were you to take your light song in for a thorough checking up, a blood screening, you might discover your song has cancer, HIV, diabetes is going blind in its left eye. You may not have strength to sing your song for this season or the next, but a light song of light cannot be held back. It cannot wait on health or its perfect occasion. 5. A light song of light meditates in the morning, does yoga once a week, accepts the law of karma. It may not worship in a synagogue, it may not worship in a barnyard, but still it believes in a clean heart, in righteous living and the general avoidance of pork. It would like to touch your feet, pronounce a blessing before you go, Jah guide and protect always, Sela, Ashe, Ashe. 6. A light song of light will summon daffodils, bluebells and strawberries, hummingbirds will summon silver, the shine of sequins, the gold of rings, and the dreadful luminosity of everything we had been told to close our eyes to, because they had no sharp edges, because they could not be wielded against the enemy, will be called back into service, retired weapons that have no memory of war, or that they could fight, or that they could win. 7. A light song of light is not reggae, not calypso, not mento or zouk. It is not a common song from a common island, not a song whose trail you have followed for umpteen years, a song trembled from the single tooth of the singer man who had beat his tune out from a sheet of zinc, and how it surprised you, the thin bellies from which music could be drawn. You did not know then that his song came at the price of history and Cain and the terrible breath of oceans, a price which even now you cannot fully consider. 8. A light song of light don't talk the way I talk most days. So tell the truth, I never knew at first what this country was going to do me, how I would start hearing myself through the ears of others, how I would start putting words on a scale and exchange the ones I think in for the ones I think you will understand, till it become natural, this slow, careful way of talking, this talk like the walk of a man who find himself on a street him never born to, who trying hard to look like nothing not bothering him, and maybe nothing wrong with a false talk like that, but that is no way to sing. 9. A light song of light is not understood completely, not in the moment it is sung, and maybe not for months after, but it sings with a faith common in those who never lost their accents, who talk their talk knowing, you may not catch everything, but sure, you will catch enough. And if you don't catch nothing, then something wrong with the ears, they've been tuned to the wrong frequency. 10. A light song of light tells knock-knock jokes, and tells them in order to illustrate the most heartbreaking points. It is not that the song does not know the weight of sadness. It is not that the song does not take things seriously. It is not that the song needs to write 100 times on a chalkboard, I will be heavy, I will be heavy, I will be heavy, I will be heavy. 11. A light song of light is distant cousin to songs we sing in bathtubs, is related then by accident to water and to soap and to square white tiles that bounce sound one from another, is related also to rain and to blankets and to the little things we say to get us through the hurricane. 12. A light song of light says thank you to the paper it is written on, this most solid evidence of its existence, however thin. Sometimes, though, a light song of light wishes it were written on material even thinner, the shaft of morning that slides through a shut window. A light song of light believes nothing is so substantial as light, and that light is unstoppable, and that light is all. Thanks.